I'd like to propose a toast.
Hello and welcome to Before Brunch. I'm Megan Cassidy.
And I'm Cassie Delaney.
And we are your weekly, sometimes bi-weekly, pop culture, arts, social issues.
All that good stuff.
All that jazz. We go live every Saturday morning at around 7 a.m.
Just in time for your nice little 5K walk, soon to be longer than 5K, with your pals. And we usually talk about all the things you're going to be talking to your friends about at brunch. And now it's just like the things you can tittle-tattle about as you have your little walk. So it's not distinctly political or pop culture-y as we have sort of actualized this week by deciding on a theme that we're both very passionate about. When you said this to me, I was like, it's like you're in my mind, because I do this all the time at the desk.
It was so funny because we tackle heavy issues on this podcast, and issues that we would have to sit down beforehand and be like, okay, how are we going to do this? What language will we use? What language won't we use? Blah, blah, blah. In this case, I was like, listen, Cassie, I have something a bit left field for this week.
And I was
kind
giddy.
Of on my mind. And you're like, oh. And I was like, Irish, like the big Irish wedding. And we were both probably more scared than we've ever been to talk about any topic.
Yeah.
Which in itself.
Because I think generally, right, what drives a lot of my work is female representation, you know, feminism, equality. And like, I know I'm on the side of right. I know I'm on the right side of history when I'm talking about, you know, advancing the female cause and advancing feminism. I don't feel like I'm necessarily completely 100% correct here, but I'm passionate about it.
Yeah.
And I'm willing to be controversial. And you just said to me, Irish weddings. And my response, glad it was the same as yours, I fucking hate them.
I hate them. I hate everything that comes with them. But we do want to preface by saying, obviously, it's your prerogative to have whatever wedding that you would like. And weddings are such a sensitive topic.
Of course.
That I imagine we'll get more DMs than ever about this, and probably hate mail, pillowcases full. Because people in Ireland are so precious about their wedding, their perfect day, their big day.
Yeah.
It is an industry that doesn't innovate. You know, when we talk about weddings, we're talking about weddings and the wedding industry.
Yeah. The whole concept, really think about it, is weird. First of all, you're saying, here is one person, let's do everything together for the rest of our lives.
Yeah.
Legally.
Yeah.
Let's tie this down in a way that's so complicated and difficult to defuse later on. Let's share everything.
Yeah.
Spend all of our free time together. And do everything together for the rest of our lives. Weird concept.
Because God makes it so, and you cannot divide what God has brought together. So if you make this decision, you cannot change your mind.
Yeah.
We've made it so that longevity is how we judge the quality of a relationship. That something that doesn't have a long duration isn't good.
I always say to my friends when they talk about exes or past relationships, and they kind of, you know, even if they look on at them sort of, what's the word I'm looking for, longingly, and miss them, I always say to them that that person, that relationship was exactly right for you at the time, but that's not the relationship that you need now, because people change or whatever. And I think that that's true, that you can have little short relationships where you meet the person who takes you to the next step or teaches you something, and it's a really important, beautiful little thing, and they shouldn't be disregarded just because of their length. But I think that I've often said, and this is something Lydia agrees with as well, that I wouldn't want a big wedding anyway, because I could not imagine anything worse than walking in a narrow aisle in between everybody I know in heels and a long dress and have everyone look at me.
Yeah.
I couldn't imagine it. I couldn't.
No, and I understand that. And for me, the day itself is, from when you're a little girl, it's like the day is the destination. It's not about having a strong marriage or a good marriage. It's about getting married. And that the journey is the journey to the day, which is really weird. And any wedding that I've been peripherally involved in or involved in, and I've never been part of a wedding party, and that's fine by me.
Neither have I, and I don't think I'll ever be asked.
I don't think I'll be asked. No, neither do I. But
I'm actually going to have one now, because on the flip side of this coin, I will get to it later, there's part of me that hates weddings, and then there's a huge part of me that wants to recreate that very rich, extravagant lesbian wedding that was in Ashford Castle only a year ago.
Yeah.
The Delahunt wedding. Like, yeah. I hate weddings, but then I look at pictures of that and I'd be like, I would look gorgeous in a cape.
Yeah, no, and it's fun to fantasize. And I used to fantasize. And I think 18-year-old me would have loved a huge wedding. And, you know, when I went to my Deb's, I did the huge princess dress. And I would have loved a day where all the attention was on me. And, you know, psychologists say that people love the wedding day because it is that day where all your needs are met. And we
That's
all
Saturday
want
at 7
to be...
a.m.
We all want to be seen and we all want our needs to be met. And people have this fixation on the one day where everything will go your way. But the idea of the perfect day in itself is just setting yourself up for pain. And there's always pain. The build up to a wedding is always painful for the wedding party, particularly, it seems, the group of poor and fortunate bridesmaids. There's always tears. I can never
There's
understand.
Always fallings out. I won't fallings get into out. It, but I have a great one to tell you off, Mike.
Yeah, no, and so do I. People always fall out in the run-up to a wedding. And when Meghan Markle sat down with Oprah and started talking about her fallout with Kate over the bridesmaids' dresses, I just felt quite apathetic about that particular complaint, particularly in the context of a pandemic. You know, the bridesmaids weren't wearing tights, or they were, and someone ends up in tears. And it's just the same old story. And it reminds me of when we first went into lockdown and people were really worried about the bride's mental health because their wedding was in jeopardy. That to me is a little bit concerning.
It's totally concerning. Now, obviously, we're coming at this definitely from the niche perspective of being two people who don't necessarily want big weddings for whatever reasons. But I think that you're completely right. But obviously, I'm going to agree with everything you've said. I have the same opinion that you have.
But I think that
it is something to be looked at, that
yeah.
it is... There is never a possibility that one day can be entirely perfect. There's too many variables. I think one of the biggest problems for me is that, first of all, I cursed myself at a certain point in my life. We kind of get into your 20s and you're like, God, I haven't really been to that many weddings. And then it's like, whoop,
it all happens.
And then you're going to 4 or 5 a year. And people warn you about that and you don't think it's true, but it happens, especially when you're in a relationship. I have been to weddings of people I've never met because they've worked with Lydia. You know, which I think is just also saying something. I will say that, like, some of the happiest days are watching my friends marry the people they love. Close friends. One of my very close friends had a gorgeous wedding last year. It was the most gorgeous day for it in September. The sun came out. We had a beautiful day. It was down in the Lyra. And there was just this lovely courtyard. We all had little drinks outside. And I was catching up with people I hadn't seen in ages. And that was beautiful. Loved that day.
Yeah.
But then I have been to other weddings. I have been to Seafield more times than I've seen members of my own family. Like, I've been to those kind of weddings that they just start rolling into one.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And this is it. It's copy paste a lot of the time. And that's why this is an opportunity to maybe say, like, even earlier when you say, here's how you do a wedding. You book a function room, you book a band, you get a dress, you pick your three bridesmaids. It's all so copy and paste that isn't this a chance? And we've done it across the board this year to step back and say, there's always a positive to looking at a tradition and examining it and saying, actually, is this right for me?
Yeah.
Are there elements of this that I like and elements that I don't? Because when you actually look at the wedding tradition, so many of it is steeped in, you know, the Catholic ideal family. And they historically wanted us to celebrate weddings publicly so that we could share the message, man and wife are together. We are a nuclear family. Now we're going to have a baby. The bride was a virgin. The father gave her away. Even the
It's
veil,
ownership. It was ownership, ownership from one man to another as well. Which
a transaction.
Is really, yeah.
Even until 1997 in rural China. I think it's 1997, maybe 1991. It's an odd number and it's in the 90s. In rural China, there were prizes. there were still prices for brides. Like, yeah. And I'm sure it's still got, certainly.
But it's still in the Middle East. When did dowries end even in Ireland? Like,
yeah. And it's so transactional. And you would walk down the aisle. And the reason that the bride has the veil down over her face is that the husband doesn't get to see her until the deal is done. So he can't go back on it. So it's a literal business transaction between men. And that historically, marriage was not about love. It was about wealth exchange.
Of course.
It was about, you know, geographical foothold. It was a political thing. It was not about love. So isn't this a chance for us to say, do you know what? I love my partner. I want to spend my life with them. But how do I want to do it? Like, you know,
I mean, celebrate. I love a big celebration. I love a big party.
Yeah.
Love the idea of a big party and bringing all your friends and family together. And then actually a wedding is one of the only times where you bring both parties' families together to really meet. And that idea is gorgeous. Come together and celebrate a relationship. Or I love naming ceremonies and things like that for children where you really celebrate the arrival of a new child.
Mm.
Naming ceremony traditionally is like a year maybe after the baby is born.
Mm.
I think that one of my biggest problems with weddings is that one of the first weddings I went to in my 20s was Lydia's sister Thirza and her husband Lawrence. And
we're naming names.
Sure, look, they're not going to listen. But they had this is a positive.
Oh, great.
They had the most sensational goddamn wedding I've ever been to.
Right.
Right. The whole thing was in Imagh. It was gorgeous. There was a little humanist ceremony, and then we went in and we did a dinner. But you didn't have to move. There was no church to function room kind of thing. There was no whatever. There was, again, a gorgeous day. There was Prosecco and little pints of Guinness on the lawn.
Oh, lovely.
The sun came out. Sing-along social was there. Great after party. Dublin wedding. Home you go to bed. Mm. Absolutely fantastic. Didn't put my hand in my pocket once. The whole day, everything was covered, which I know everyone can't do. It's incredible. Like,
yeah,
you'd be in an incredible position to be in. But it was just, it was really what it was about. It wasn't about this like overbearing commitment to each other. It was like, look, we love each other. Here's someone on the guitar playing Rihanna. Beautiful. We're going to have a few songs. Here's some Florence and the Machine. Here's Sing Along Social. You know, I don't even think there was a cake. Maybe there was. If there was, I didn't see it.
But I love that you don't even know. And that's the only kind of trend that has veered towards pragmatism in the last few years, is people are spending less on cakes. We all remembered the scandal when Sean Quinn, the Quinn Empire was cascading, and they spent $100,000 on the daughter's wedding cake.
Insane.
An average wedding guest coughs up the best part of €1,000 when you think about dressing yourself, the present, transport, accommodation, and weddings that last a week.
It's generally £1,000.
Yeah.
I think that's in and around the safe number. Even if you don't really necessarily buy a new, I try not to buy a new outfit when I go to weddings. A good one for swapping or whatever, even though it's hard. I'm 7'2". It's really difficult to find someone who has the same size as me.
Yeah.
But they're really expensive.
Yeah.
And that's without the hen party. I think we should come together. I actually think when we release this episode, more people will come forward and say, look, I also hate weddings.
Yeah.
And we can come together and we can burn Carrick and Shannon to the ground.
Yeah. And look, can we look at, with alarm, the attachment that we have to them and the upset that's been caused in the last
year? Maybe it's just because they're so expected. Like, that's because they're so formulaic. The minute someone gets engaged, you're like, right, get the wheels in motion, get the rooms down in Carrick booked, get the Shannon crews booked for the hen, get the lads stag party booked over in the place with the archery or whatever it is the boys do.
Yeah.
You know.
And it's so entwined in our sense of identity and social status. And and when you're saying the extended families coming together, that is lovely. And there's people that you've met that you've only met at the wedding and that you won't see again until, God love us, a funeral.
That's true.
You know, and it was that opportunity. But at the same time, for the closer families, it's a lot of pressure for the two sets of parents. If there are two sets of parents competing with each other, coughing up cash, having to spend as much as the other family, it inevitably ends in tension simmering underneath. On the day, someone is always not talking
and
to someone else.
It's a classic case of too many chefs in the kitchen. And when there's that many people who have opinions on how something should be done, inevitably, everybody compromises. And when everybody compromises, nobody's happy. Mm. So everyone just has this safe day that has the lowest common denominator of what everyone wanted.
There's a trend very much in Ireland towards doing it for the parents. And it's kind of something that we've done when it comes to organized religion in general. And yeah. you can't separate really marriage from religion in Ireland anyway. Now, I think 45% of Irish marriages are Catholic in a church and religious ceremonies. And then the rest are secular ceremonies. But our idea of marriage...
It's the same.
Is a Catholic ideal?
No, I think what we tried to do when we were sort of dismantling Catholicism or distancing ourselves from our personal relationship to organized religion was that we looked at the points that were like the most problematic and replaced them with something that was similar. So the ceremony was replaced by a humanist ceremony, but generally someone still walked up the aisle and you still have those lovely little traditions without taking a step back and examining those. I think if you start at the overall umbrella, looking at the thing as a whole, what is it we're trying to do here? Mm. And that's celebrate two people who love each other, who are committed to each other.
Mm.
And then how, take a step back and say, well, how do we want to celebrate that? And let that celebration also be, I suppose, in, you know, in proportion to how their lives are lived. I think yeah. there's so much of the time as well, and there's so much pressure on brides and generally on young couples as well to have this big massive wedding where all the cousins are there, and it's a financial burden.
Yeah.
And then you've that many people, and I know brides who like were almost skeletal by the time they were walking down the aisle because they went on these mad diets
yeah.
just because everyone was going to be looking at them.
Yeah.
Is it not just nicer to bring everyone together? Upstairs in Fallon and Burn is a gorgeous area. Bring them all together there. Have a little party and say, look, we're, I Absolutely. Don't know, we're together. But it's also really, it's for me, it's a weird thing.
It's weird that, you know, we start our married lives with this huge financial burden of having paid, I think the average Irish wedding is 20 grand. And it all got out of control in the Celtic Tiger, and before that, like when our parents' generation were getting married, it was ham salads and like there was nothing fancy.
Oh, not at all,
you know. And now it's like it's 20 grand and that's modest if you speak to some wedding planners. So you're starting off your life, and there's a new Netflix show, Marriage or Mortgage, and you're literally choosing between your deposit or the big day. And that to me is, you know, buying a house with someone is so much more of a real and tangible
commitment.
Sign of, you know, yeah. we're together than the huge party and the goodie bags and the flip-flops in the bathroom and all the touches that anytime I come across them, the emotion isn't admiration. It's usually pressure, genuinely. When
yeah.
I see those things, I feel pressure. I'm, will my wedding be as good? Always hear of people who get married and on the day, some old bridey comes up and asks the bride, when are you going to have your first baby?
Oh, yeah. It's just about milestones and moving on to the next thing. And maybe we do that because we have never really stopped to take back and say, well, what does life look like if we don't do all those things?
Yeah.
I think that naturally we have sort of circumnavigated those expected milestones.
Mm.
We're both very career driven people.
Yeah.
I'm a queer woman, so I haven't. I think once that happened, you know, it's like those milestones were alleviated for me because
yeah.
it's just not expected. And I think that it's a more interesting way to navigate your own life and to stop and think about what you want the next step to be rather than just going along with what's expected.
Yeah. Well, same-sex weddings usually are built on what matters to a relationship, and they usually reflect relationship values better than a lot of, you know, walk down the aisle, the priest
yeah.
gives you marriage counseling before. The priest tells you how to be in a marriage?
I know. It's
That's
horrendous.
Still happening? I can't believe that still. I can't believe you could sit in front of a priest and he would tell me how to be a good wife.
I think that it's just a real sign as well that there's something broken there. And people do it and they don't believe it. Or there's people who aren't Catholic getting married in Catholic church. It's like, what is the actual point?
Mm.
Gay weddings are great crack. They are actually fantastic. And I do want to like make it clear that I'm the most emotional person at a wedding. Like
yeah.
when I see people, even if it's in a church, when I see them commit to each other, I have a little cry, and I'm so happy for my friends to see them happy. And I love a good hen party. I hate Carrick and Shannon as a place, but I love a good hen party.
Yeah.
And I love coming together to celebrate my friends. I'm just kind of, I just think there's a better way to do it than this sort of like archaic tradition that we've had, and a way that is going to do it and alleviate a burden for people as well, that isn't going to be so much about the financial pressures. Like, the wedding day is fantastic and it generally does play off and people are all happy and celebrating, but like watching my friends prepare for weddings who were so stressed in the lead up to it, it's like, what's the real point, you know, here? Like, are you going to dedicate the next year of your life to worrying about a single day?
Again, you're coming back to that day as the destination, which is not the right way to think about a marriage at all. But yeah, we're all kind of looking at the way things are done now. And people are making decisions around their fertility and their family planning that we didn't feel like we had the option to make 10 years ago.
No, you have to say, well, first of all, I identify as queer. So I think the likelihood, well, I'm in a very long term relationship now. Had I not been, were I not in that relationship, the likelihood of me ending up with a man or a woman or someone who's non-binary or trans is equally, you know, likely. You know, I don't necessarily feel attracted to someone because of their gender or their gender expression. So I think that I do stop every now and then and think, like, I have to think about, how do I want to build my family?
Yeah.
Like, I have to make those conscious decisions, and it's not like something that's going to happen accidentally. I have to think about, I also have to think about, if I were to have a celebration of my love for another person, who do I want in my life to celebrate that with me? Because there's not a lot of people in my life who, well, sorry, there's loads of people in my life who support me regardless, but there are people who are maybe who I'm related to who would have different views about whether I have the right to marry somebody or not. So there are things that I would consider as well, rather than just going down the line of inviting everyone that I've ever met for the sake of it.
That's it. I saw a quote yesterday and I can't attribute it because I didn't put it into my notes, but it was, if the path before you is clear, then it's probably someone else's path. And it's true. Like, if you're just blindly following a clear path, it's really good to step back and kind of challenge your own preconceived notions about these things and what is causing you unnecessary pain. Like, you know, I know families where the younger sister has gotten engaged before the older sister and it's like traumatizing for the older sister.
Yeah.
Can we separate ourselves from what is the root cause of that pain? That you just haven't lived up to expectation.
Yeah.
Expectation is the word. And when I think about weddings, that, like, I've never actually pinpointed that word, but the heavy feeling is expectation.
Yeah.
What do people expect? Maybe I said when I was younger that I wanted X, Y, Z, and that's what people expect. What do my parents expect? What do my aunts and uncles expect? What? It's expectation. And let's all step back and say, actually, just what do I want for myself?
Like, yeah, I think that's the hardest thing to do, is to step back. In any, nobody ever wants to disappoint their parents.
Yeah.
And then in that, they have this, they carry this huge burden of what they think their parents want for them.
Yeah.
And I'm really fortunate. I have a really, really close relationship with my parents. I know I could do anything and they'd still be proud of me. A lot of the time they won't understand it. Mm. I go home and I tell my parents about things and they're like, just one more time now, are you making money off these podcasts? Like, they're just, it's without their, you know, it's not in their realm of comprehension.
But it's lovely.
But they're so supportive. But I didn't think that all the time growing up. I was terrified. And it wasn't till I had a conversation with my parents about being queer that we've had this relationship where I actually stopped and was like, I'm sorry, you know, and a lot of it was apology and like, I'm sorry that I'm disappointing you. And it was like, holy shit, there's no level of disappointment here.
Yeah.
And I don't have kids. The only thing I can compare it to is like how I feel about like my siblings.
I thought you were going to say Scout.
I was. And then I second guessed it because I was like, holy shit, I can't go there. But like, Scout could never do anything to upset me. But also my younger two brothers.
Yeah.
There is nothing they could do that would make me stop loving them ever. Yeah. And I would never feel disappointed in them. And I would never, I just only want them to be happy and successful and at peace with themselves. And that's what most parents want for their children.
Yeah.
It's just that sense of peace. So if you stop and you say to them, look, here's a level of expectation that I think, that I perceive that you want for me.
Yeah.
But here's what I want to do for my own life. I think you'll have conversations with your parents, be like, well, of course, do the thing.
Yeah.
Do the thing that's going to make you happy. I don't care about your function room in Seafield.
Like that's, and we're both lucky in that way because my parents are exactly the same. They've never, and I used to resent them because after I had done my arts degree, now as a 32-year-old woman, I'm like, I wish I did business. I wish I did commerce in UCD. And sometimes that extends to a little bit of resentment around why didn't my parents sit me down and explain to me that some paths are lucrative and some paths aren't. But that's completely, that's another new expectation that I'm now retrospectively putting on them when they were incredible to let me do whatever I want, never put any pressure on me. They never pressured me to study because I liked studying anyway. They never gave me any sense of you need to fulfill a duty or you are less of a person or less of a daughter or we're less proud. They're like your parents in that they're exceedingly proud. Like my mother is the proudest woman in the country. My little sister is a model. My mum will bring the magazine where my sister is a model on the front to the hairdresser and say, you know, I'd like my hair this color. And I know it'll suit me because that's my daughter.
Yeah.
Like gorgeous. That, she is that woman, but she has never put any sort of pressure. And I can see in other families that it's the pressure and the expectation that causes so much pain in every domain of life. And expectation even on yourself, how something should be or how something should look, is the root of a lot of pain, particularly I think in COVID, how things should be, where we should be now, we should be in the pub, we should be here.
Really, really difficult to let go of that, I guess. Yeah. But I think it's the most, I suppose, freeing way to, obviously letting go of expectation is like an incredibly freeing way to live and saying I'm not going to be beholden to these milestones and these standards that other people project onto me. That's total freedom.
Yeah.
But if you can't, if it's that you can't get to that stage, you can't live your life yet, I just say, like, let people surprise you.
Mm.
So like have conversations with people where you don't anticipate, you don't, I suppose, can't anticipate what the outcome is going to be. So have tough conversations with people and let them surprise you.
Yeah.
And let other people do things that are outside of your, what you would like to do for yourself. And if everybody else in the world I know wants to still get married in a function room, absolutely.
And I think to clarify today, because we are ranting.
But we are ranting. We've gone off the rails, Meg.
We are ranting, but we're not railing against people who have big weddings. We're railing against people who expect us all to have big weddings.
Yeah, I mean, we've kind of come back around to it. At some point, I feel like this is one of those like arguments to get into where someone will hold up what I said 12 minutes in versus what I said 37 minutes in. And I'm like contradicting myself where I'm like, I hate weddings, but I'll still be there.
No, but this is an exploration.
It is. It's nice to talk about it and be like, I love the people who get married. I love what they've decided to do for themselves. I support everybody in making their own decisions.
Yeah.
I'm not going to do that.
And you know what? It's a celebration of a healthy cynicism.
Yeah.
We all need to be more cynical, particularly of things that are big industries. Like the wedding industry in Ireland is a 500 million euro industry.
It's crazy.
So let's maintain a healthy skepticism.
Yeah.
When something's an industry like skincare.
Question it.
Dental hygiene. Right.
Oral health care.
Oral health. Weddings. Just step back. Question it.
Yeah. And here actually is a very good plug for another podcast we have on Tall Tales called All Things Considered. And the first episode is a gorgeous deep dive into the relationship between dietitians and nutritionists and looking at the wellness industry and the information that we receive and why it's problematic and the things that form our opinions and our understanding and how generally it's marketing and money. It's a very good listen. And the end of it, we go through myth by myth by myth and break it all down.
Amazing. And I will definitely be listening to that because anything you watch now, any documentary on Netflix, the common theme is don't believe everything you're told. You've been told something because of a system that benefits certain people. And you are usually the victim of that transaction.
Yeah.
Whether it's Seaspiracy or any of the documentaries about health and wellness, there's always someone like Mr. Kellogg who's benefiting from you believing in a certain food pyramid or the flip of a certain food pyramid.
Absolutely.
There's always a system. So if it's a seesaw and someone is on the high end, are you the one with your bum on the ground?
Megan, I think we've really derailed ourselves this week now, and we are like,
I think the weddings have made us emotional.
I think that, yeah, they've made us emotional. And there is still a part of me that's like, if someone gave me, well, no, if someone gave me, if I won 2 million euro tomorrow, would I still spend 100 grand on that Delahunt wedding? I don't know if that's how much it costs. It probably costs more. Mm. They are beautiful photographs. They are. And it looked like a stunning day. It's like an incredible, aesthetically pleasing wedding. I think there was 200 bridesmaids. If I had that level of money, would I go out and do it just to see if I could? I don't know.
I mean, are we jealous? Maybe.
I think you'd make a beautiful bride.
I know.
And I think that, like, I'd really enjoy a day of, like, maybe wearing a really fancy dress with a good corset. Like,
yeah.
I do think that it'd be fun. I'm not going to do it, though.
I love theatrics. I love the high roofs of a church.
Yeah.
I love the sound of an organ. I'll never forget the first close friend to me getting married, walking into this huge church, the organ playing, the birds were literally flying around the rafters. She looked angelic. I was sobbing.
Yeah.
It's gorgeous. I love the production. But West End shows are a lot of stress on people. And this is even more stressful because it's a one-off production.
Yeah.
You don't get another chance.
I think that I do want there to be some moment in my life where a string quartet plays a version of Maybe I'm Amazed and they're playing it about me.
Okay, I'll make note.
Do make that happen for me and then I'll be happy. I'll die single and happy.
No, but I think you've really got to the root of it when you say that the problem here, the emotion that we're feeling is not living up to expectation or the pressure of expectation.
Yeah.
I love that. I'm going to carry it with me through the week.
Let it go. You have difficult, I always say, have difficult conversations with people. Ask the tough questions and you'll arrive somewhere that you weren't before and you'll be better because of it.
Yeah.
You'll be better for it.
You'll be better. Now, I want to do something that I didn't run by you beforehand.
Oh.
But if you've made it this far in the podcast, sorry, this is a whole new segment that you just don't know about yet. We're doing a shout out of one of the reviews.
Oh,
on the Apple Podcasts.
Great idea.
Okay, so XtinaPants187 says, a favorite, 5 stars. Delighted you are back. Love the discussions and perspectives. Thank you, XtinaPants187.
I hope you're Miss XtinaPants and not Mrs. XtinaPants because she's going to have an issue with this episode.
Oh yeah, or it could be Tina Pants just with a kiss at the start.
Who knows?
Who knows? But thank you for your review. And if you feel compelled now to leave a review or an opinion, it really helps us with discovery in the iTunes.
It really does. Charts. We've been getting actually really good feedback from people. It's nice.
We do get good feedback. We just need public praise.
Yeah, come on. Share us on your stories there. If you too hate weddings, share this on your stories. Make the episode title We Hate Weddings. Thank you very much for listening to us. Do come back again next week. We might talk about Demi.
Yes, Demi Moore's new documentary, if you want to do.
Lovato.
Oh, excuse me. If you want to do your homework like me, I did know it was Demi Lovato.
Of course you did. We're your pop culture, politics, and all that good stuff podcast.
Bless you. May you go forth in happiness, for better, for worse.
Forever and ever, till death do us part. Toodle pip.